Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Money.com. Our first article is entitled, What is Whole Life Insurance and How Does It Work? Let's start with the definition. Whole life insurance is one of two main types of life insurance, the other being term life. The idea behind whole life is to insure you for the entirety of your life. Typically, a whole life policy will be in force until the insured's 100th or 120th birthday. Because such longevity is a rare occurrence, the policy tends to live up to its name. The level premiums for whole life tend to be significantly higher than a comparable amount of term life coverage. Whole life insurance also includes a cash element from which you can borrow or use to pay the policy's premiums. Whole life insurance has several subcategories, including universal life, variable universal life, and flexible or adjustable premium life. Whole life insurance is a type of life insurance policy that guarantees a fixed death benefit for the beneficiaries and a cash value component that functions as a saving and investing vehicle for the policyholder during their lifetime. How does whole life insurance work? Whole life insurance is a permanent insurance policy that builds cash value over time. As long as the premiums are paid on time, the policy remains active for the entire life of the policyholder, and the beneficiaries will receive a set death benefit upon the insured's death. The insured pays fixed premiums, which are allotted between several categories: partial funding for the policy's death benefit, the insurer's operating cost, and contributions to the cash value account, which can serve as an emergency fund that the policyholder can access or borrow against. What does whole life insurance cover? Well, first, the death benefit. Your beneficiaries are entitled to a tax-free lump sum death benefit at the moment of your passing. There are no use restrictions. A death benefit payout can cover costs associated with your death, like estate planning, burial, funeral, and debt settlements, but your beneficiaries aren't required to use it for those purposes. The amount of the death benefit doesn't change during the policyholder's lifetime, but any outstanding loans against the cash value component of the policy will be deducted from the death benefit the beneficiaries receive. The policy can expire at its maturity date, usually when the insured reaches age 100 or 120. What happens next varies. Some companies pay out the cash value and close the policy, while others grant policy extensions or continue the policy with no changes. The minimum coverage amount is usually $100,000, but many policies can pay out $1 million or more. Cash value. This component is a benefit for the insured while they are alive. It works as a safe investment and savings account the insured can access throughout their lifetime. Returns on the cash value amount are guaranteed, meaning that the insurer pledges to uphold a minimum interest rate over the life of the policy. The cash value account is funded with a portion of the premium payments, and the amount earns interest and builds value on a tax-free basis. Riders. Insurance riders enhance the coverage and modify the terms of a policy. For example, you can work around a policy's maturity date by purchasing a maturity extension rider or access the death benefit while still living by adding an accelerated death benefit rider. And eligibility. Eligibility for whole life insurance is determined by a variety of factors, including age, gender, employment information, medical history, and lifestyle. Insurers generally require a medical exam. But if you'd rather skip this step, some companies offer a no-exam life insurance alternative to the traditional underwriting process. What is the cash value of a whole life policy? Most people buy life insurance with a cash value component to build tax-deferred earnings. This living benefit works like a low-risk investment account, providing an extra source of income for retirement, college tuition, or emergency funding. A cash value account grows slowly, but with guaranteed rates, regardless of the stock market's fluctuations. It earns interest on a tax-free basis as you continue making payments. It grows faster during the first years of the policy, but slows down as you age since the cost of insuring you demands a larger portion of your premiums. And it stays with the insurance company when the policyholder dies, unless the policy includes a rider that states otherwise. There are four ways to access the cash value earnings in a whole life insurance policy. Policy loans. A policy loan is a tax-free and less restricted than other types of loans. The insurance company lends the money and sets up a flexible repayment plan with low interest rates. Your cash value earnings serve as the collateral. Withdrawals. Policyholders can withdraw directly from the cash value with partial cash surrenders. These are final and can reduce the death benefit payout. Withdrawals are taxable if they exceed the cumulative amount you've paid in premiums, and withdrawing the full cash value amount triggers a policy lapse. Surrendering the policy. Surrendering a policy cancels it and nullifies the death benefit. You receive the cash surrender value, whatever cash value is left after surrender charges and fees. Any cash surrender value that exceeds what you've paid in premiums is taxable. Using it to make premium payments. You can use the cash value to cover monthly premiums and stop making payments out of pocket. It will take several years of high premium payments before this is possible, and if you empty the cash value account, the policy can lapse. Dividend paying whole life insurance policy. A participating whole life insurance policy can earn dividends on top of the guaranteed cash value and death benefit. If and when the insurance company generates a surplus of profit, policyholders receive dividends as partial refunds of premium payments. They may use these earnings in several ways: as a cash or check payout, as contributions to the cash value account, to make advance premium payments, and to purchase additional coverage. Before borrowing from your cash value account, remember, mismanaged cash value loans can lapse your policy, nullify the tax-exempt status, and reduce the death benefit. Withdrawals and loans that exceed the cash value amount will be subject to taxations. Withdrawals and outstanding cash value loans will reduce the death benefit payout to your beneficiaries. Policy loans and withdrawals increase the risk of the policy lapsing, and due to its low annual growth rate, it can take up to 10 years to build enough funds before you can actually borrow. Well, how much does whole life insurance cost? Whole life insurance rates are considerably more expensive than other types of life insurance. Policies can cost up to 10 times more than term life insurance. Premiums can range from $40 to $300 monthly, but the exact amount you pay every month will depend on a few factors: your individual profile, the company's underwriting guidelines, insurance policy type, coverage amount, and any riders you purchase. Some policies offer an optional clause called a waiver of premium, which waives premium payments if the insured person becomes critically ill or disabled. Whole life insurance premiums are based on your age and gender. The younger you are, the lower your premiums will be. Premiums for women also tend to be more affordable than for men. Your medical history. Individual companies look at your own medical history and your parents'. Pre-existing conditions, a family history of chronic conditions will drive up premiums. Expect a medical exam or health questionnaire to assess your health. Smoker status. Your premiums could increase by as much as 20% if you smoke cigarettes or use tobacco, cigars, snuff, and chewing tobacco. Your hobbies also can have an impact. Practicing extreme sports like skydiving, rock climbing, or other risky hobbies raises the premium. And your occupation. Working at a high-risk job, for example, police officers, construction workers, pilots, and firefighters, tend to raise the insurance premiums. What type of life insurance policy is right for you? Life insurance products are split into two types of coverage, term and permanent policies. The choice ultimately depends on what you can afford and what you want out of life insurance. Take a careful look at every life insurance option available, and if needed, consult a financial advisor before settling on one. Term life insurance is a simple product with just three types of policies. It works for people looking for affordable coverage for a limited number of years. On the other hand, whole life insurance is one of the multiple types of permanent life insurance that offer lifelong coverage and cash value earnings. There are several types of permanent life insurance: universal life insurance, variable life insurance, variable universal life insurance, survivorship life insurance, and single premium life insurance. Whole life versus term life insurance. Here's how both policy types compare. Coverage. Whole life policies insure you for your entire life, while term life policies have an expiration date. The premiums. Whole life premiums tend to be significantly higher than term life premiums. Investment savings. Whole life policies include an investment component with a modest rate of return, though it can take years to accrue enough value for a loan, while term life policies do not. Dividends. Whole life policies can pay dividends, but term life policies do not. People who benefit from whole life insurance. Whole life insurance works for people who want long-term protection and can afford the high premium rates. For example, parents, to ensure your children's financial well-being, to fund education, build a trust for children with special needs, etc. Couples, to cover daily and future living expenses such as mortgage payments for a spouse or a partner. Older adults, to cover financial obligations, funeral costs, final expenses, and supplemental Social Security income. Business owners, to ensure the operation of a business after the owner's death or to cover debt related to operations, especially if it's backed by assets like a family home or the family needs to buy out a partner. And people who need estate planning, to help your loved ones cover estate taxes, asset management, and other death-related expenses in case of the policy owner's unexpected or accidental death. And businesses that need to insure a key employee, to buffer any financial setbacks after the loss of an essential employee. People who don't benefit from whole life insurance. Life insurance is a welcome safety net for anyone, but purchasing a whole life policy is not always the best choice for people in average income brackets. Expensive premiums are generally not compatible with average wages. People who have large mortgages and other debts are best served by term life insurance. Older adults who need to boost their retirement. Older adults should look for the best life insurance for seniors before considering a whole life policy. The cash value will grow at a very slow rate, and you will pay extremely high premiums without seeing much returns. And buyers looking for investment opportunities. Focus on maxing out your 401k, and your IRA contributions before considering whole life insurance for its investing benefits. A policy's cash value earnings resemble money in a savings account, tax-free, secure, and stable, but it won't earn impressive rates. Our next article from Money.com, 10 Moving Tips. Moving is probably one of Americans' most dreaded tasks, but the vast majority of people will relocate at least a few times during their lifetime. Thankfully, there are strategies you can use to make the process easier. Here are 10 moving tips that will help minimize the hassles while you shift to a new place to live. Number 1. Do your research and pick a legitimate moving company. A lot of people choose to move using their own vehicle or rent a truck to save a little extra cash. But if you have many items, especially heavy ones, hiring a professional moving company may be the better and more convenient choice. Still, you don't want to hand over your precious belongings to just anyone, which is why we recommend you do the following when weighing your options. Watch out for red flags. It just takes a quick Google search with the phrase moving company scams for hundreds of results to pop up. According to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Association, one of the agencies that regulate movers in the U.S., these are some of the telltale signs your mover is fraudulent. Gives you an estimate without an on-site inspection. Demands cash or a large deposit before the move. Lacks a local physical address. Answers the telephone with a generic message instead of a company name. Cannot provide information about its insurance policy. You can't find its registration number online, or they cannot provide it when you ask. Doesn't give you a written copy of your estimate, and says it will determine the charges after loading. If you spot any of these, the best thing to do is to stay away and to look for other alternatives. Oftentimes, dishonest movers will demand more money before they agree to deliver or unload your belongings. Request a binding estimate. There are two types of estimates that legitimate movers will offer, non-binding and binding. Moving companies offer one or the other based on how much your items weigh and how many movers and vehicles are needed to relocate your belongings. The difference is that with a non-binding estimate, you may end up paying more if your items weigh more than was originally estimated. You should always aim to do business with a company that offers binding estimates, as these types of agreements guarantee that you won't be charged more than what you were initially quoted. Verify the company's rating with the Better Business Bureau. The Better Business Bureau is an organization that accredits businesses based on their ability to offer services as advertised and their commitment to effectively address and resolve customer complaints. Companies with ratings of A or above are generally considered more reputable. Besides providing ratings, the Better Business Bureau also has a comment section in which you can view customer complaints and the company's responses. This information can give you additional insights into whether or not you want to do business with a particular company. Number 2, make a moving day bag. In case you can't unload everything on the day of your move, take the following important items in a separate carry-on bag. Your personal identifications, spare cash, records of all your belongings, including their value, a copy of your moving contract, important documents like your new property's contract, spare keys, first aid kit, an extra set of clothes, snacks, toilet paper, electronics, and your chargers. Number 3, finish packing before the move. Packing procrastination can lead to potential mistakes like leaving important items or documents behind, not packing fragile items properly and overstuffing boxes to their breaking point. If you have professional movers, this part may be easier as they'll do most of the hard work for you. But still, here are some tips to amp up your packing game. Packing tips. the clutter before you pack. Before you move, take the time to identify things you don't need to take to your new place. If you're DIYing your move, this will help you save money on packing supplies and make packing easier. Have a moving checklist. Color code boxes or label them so that you know what's in them. Additionally, take inventory of what's going into which truck and, if possible, take pictures of what's inside each box. These steps will streamline unpacking once your items arrive at their final destination. And stock up on supplies the smart way. Even if you hire professional movers, you'll probably need some supplies of your own, like packing tape, lots of it, and boxes. Sure, you can buy cardboard boxes in an office supply or hardware store, but most local grocery stores will have these available for you at no cost. If you're concerned about the environmental impact of all those boxes, or if you'd just rather not deal with all that cardboard after you unpack, you can also rent reusable moving crates that will be picked up after you're settled. Number four, have a moving truck loading plan. Start by loading the heaviest items, such as your fridge, sofa, and dressers, first placing them as close as possible to the vehicle handling the moving. That way, these will act as a sturdy base to protect other belongings. And then next, stack up medium-weight objects like tables, chairs, and heavy boxes, and place the lighter items on top of them. Number five, get a shoulder dolly. A shoulder dolly is a two-person system consisting of two harnesses connected by a lifting strap with tensions and metal buckles. They are used by professional movers to reduce back shoulder, arm, and hand strain. With a shoulder dolly, you and your companion can safely lift up objects weighing up to 800 pounds as long as their width doesn't exceed 9 feet. You can buy one online at local hardware stores or major hardware chains for around $40. Number six, use blankets to protect sensitive furniture. Besides using blankets to fill up empty spaces in the truck, they can be used to protect fragile or delicate items like glass tables, mirrors, paintings, and ceramics. Number seven, reserve a spot for your moving truck. Some cities, including Philadelphia and Boston, require you to have a moving permit to park and unload your truck, especially in downtown areas. You'll also need to apply for a moving permit if you live in an apartment building with a loading dock. Failing to do so could cost you over $100 in fines. Number eight, avoid peak moving times. If you're hiring a moving company, timing your move can save you a lot of money, as professional movers charge more during busier seasons. Peak moving months run from mid-April to September, with July and August being the busiest, as summer is the most comfortable season to move. The kids are out of school, people are on vacation, the weather is right, etc. Fridays and the weekends are the busiest and most expensive days to move, while weekdays, especially Mondays and Tuesdays, tend to be the cheapest. Number nine, check in with the IRS. Not all post offices forward government checks, so make sure you notify both the U.S. Postal Service and the IRS that you've moved, particularly if you're waiting for your tax refund to be mailed to you. You can do this by filling out Form 8822 and sending it by mail or by calling the IRS Customer Support Center. Number 10, consider insurance coverage. Homeowners' insurance policies won't cover your belongings while you move. Renter's insurance, on the other hand, may cover property stolen during a move and damages caused by covered perils. This is something to consider, especially if you're not planning to use a truck rental service or a moving company, either of which may provide insurance. However, keep in mind that personal property coverage limits vary by insurer, and high-value items may require additional protection in the form of floaters or scheduled personal property coverage. Truck rental services offer coverage for the vehicle, passengers, and cargo, but you'll have to pay a little extra for it. Moving companies also offer three types of insurance coverage options. The first is released value protection, the most basic type of protection offered at no additional cost. However, if something happens to any of your belongings, you'll typically get 60 cents per pound per article. Full value protection has an added cost with the deductible varying depending on the company. With this type of coverage, if any of your items are lost or damaged during the move, the company must replace them, reimburse you, or pay for any needed repairs. And separate liability coverage, used to complement released value. If you choose to purchase it, the mover is still responsible for paying you 60 cents per pound per article, but their insurer has to cover the rest of the loss up to your policy's limit. And a summary of these money's moving tips. DIYing your move can be cheaper than hiring professional movers, but if you have a lot of stuff or heavy items, using a moving company may be a better choice. If you hire professional movers, you'll get additional protection for your belongings that you won't get if you use your own vehicle. And since there are many moving scams out there, make sure to research the company's reputation before signing your name on the dotted line. Choose a company that offers binding estimates, as this serves as a sort of price guarantee. If you choose to move without the help of professional movers, be sure to stock up on sufficient packing supplies and obtain proper moving equipment. Before you pack, purge any items that you no longer need in order to save money and time. Some cities require moving permits for you to unload your belongings, especially in downtown areas. And notify the IRS of any changes in your address, as some postal offices don't forward government checks. And as we wrap up the episode for today, just a few interesting bits of information from Kiplinger Personal Finance regarding remodeling projects with the highest return. Here are a few high percentage of return on your investments of remodeling projects. Garage door replacement has a 100% return on your investment. Wood window replacement, 95%. Screened-in porch addition, 93%. Vinyl siding replacement, 91%. And an in-ground pool addition to your home has a 90% return on the investment. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Have any questions? Give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.